The Mickey Miles Podcast is brought to you by MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel, who will handle your family vacation, reunion, honeymoon, corporate incentive trip, or getaway as if it were their own, bringing premium service and expert advice to help you get the most out of your vacation dollar. Visit them at MEI-travel.com or mousefantravel.com.
This is Liz Anderson from Centerville, Virginia, and I listen to the Mickey Miles Podcast.
This is the Mickey Miles Podcast. From 5K fun runs to full marathons, this is the podcast that helps you learn everything you need to know about running Disney races. Now, here are your hosts for the Mickey Miles Podcast, Michelle Scribner-McLean and Mike Scopa.
Welcome to episode 311 of the Mickey Miles Podcast. My name is Mike Scopa from WDW Today, and with me on the show is Michelle Scribner-McLean. Hello, Michelle. Welcome to Marathon Sunday.
This is our fourth podcast, and I think pretty much every single one till now has made me cry, so I'm hoping that I can keep it together on this podcast.
That's true. That's true. Each one has made us cry.
I'm excited to be here to finish up and have such good friends to finish up our last podcast of this little marathon podcasting session with. And I have a shout out today.
Yes, you do.
And that is to my dear friend, Laura, whose birthday it was the other day.
Yes.
And I missed it on Facebook. So yeah, she's an awesome person, even though she's a football fan. And I have no use for football, but I love her dearly. So.
And of course, we're talking about Laura Gilbreth, who is one of our guests today on this podcast. Laura, happy birthday and welcome back.
Thank you very much. Thanks for the birthday wishes. And I'm not that huge of a football fan, okay, Michelle?
Okay.
It's you haven't all right. seen her yell and scream at the TV.
It's all right.
And the voice you heard is none other than...
It's her conscience.
It's her conscience. Lee Zimmerman. Lee, welcome back. And
it's a pleasure to be here as always.
Sometimes he's anger. It depends on how the Chargers are playing.
Now, Lee and Laura are coming all the way from San Diego, where the Chargers have won their game on week one. And now we're turning to the East Coast, where we have another football fan.
They don't call them the Chargers, though.
The Chargers? They call them the Chargers. Somebody who's looking forward to the Giants-Cowboys game on this Sunday night.
Please stop.
And we welcome Amanda North to the show. Amanda, welcome.
Thanks, guys. It's nice to be here. I'm being forced to watch the Giants game. I don't care that much, to be honest.
Okay, so...
You don't live in the land of Deflategate, believe me. Yeah, if you lived up here, you would have had it, too.
No, I'm a Giants fan, but I would choose going to bed over staying up late watching the football game, so...
Well, Michelle, what are we here for?
Well, is there anything that the three of you have done recently that you might like to share and talk about?
Oh, we ran a couple of races last weekend.
That would be good. That would be good. So Lee, Laura, and Amanda ran the Disneyland race weekend last weekend. And Lee and Laura did it as extreme veterans. I think you guys have run every single race weekend?
No, this was number eight.
Eight out of ten. Not too bad.
We missed two and three.
That's a B in my book. And Amanda, it was your first one, right?
Yes, it was. I had not run on the West Coast at all until this past weekend.
Had you visited Disneyland?
I went in the 70s as a child, probably twice. I have photo evidence of that. And I remember going. I do remember going. And I was there in 2007. I had a medical conference in Anaheim and brought the kids and went to Disneyland.
Okay.
But not since they built Cars Land and everything. So I'm pretty new to the West Coast Disney experience.
Exciting.
So, Amanda, we want to start with you then, because you are you were a first timer for the Disneyland half marathon race weekend. And we want your your thoughts and perspective on what you found. Tell us about what you were. Tell us what exceeded your expectations and what did not live up to your expectations.
Well, I thought the 10K exceeded my expectations. I think it's a really great 10K. So that was fantastic. The expo was different for me. I think that Disney World has so much more space for the expo that it was a little bit easier to navigate that, to me anyway. We had to get wristbands in order to be allowed to get in line for the official Run Disney merchandise, and that really stressed me out a little bit.
That's new. Isn't that new?
I don't know. Lee and Laura can comment on that. I had never experienced anything like that before.
Yes, that's new.
Yeah.
They had so much trouble. I mean, Disneyland at least has learned from mistakes in the past. I think you guys were there 2 years ago for the initial Dumbo Double Dare, and what a total disaster that was for merchandise.
Right.
So they learned from that. They learned with the Star Wars expo earlier this year, and they arranged rooms to queue everybody in advance and orderly escort people into the expo. And they did that again this year. And then in addition, I guess they did the wristbands as well.
So what can you tell us how you got the wristband and what that meant? I mean, is it that you're reserving a time to come back, like the New Balance shoes?
No. So it was interesting. So they had the Run Disney booth at the far end of the expo. And when you tried to go near there, they told you that you had to go upstairs to get a wristband. So you're at the Disneyland Hotel. You took an escalator upstairs. And there was a line to get one of those paper wristbands. Not the plastic ones that you get for other Disney things. These were more paper ones, different colors. And then once you had your wristband, you went into a ballroom where they lined people up, maybe like 30 people in a line, and they would take one line of 30 people at a time back downstairs, where they'd then wait in a different line to get into the Run Disney merchandise area. And as you walked into the Run Disney merchandise area, they ripped off your wristband to signify that you had entered.
That was so my question. What was the point of the wristband? I can see why that would stress you out.
Well, I almost didn't bother to go look at the merchandise at that point, because it just seemed like such a to-do. Now, we were lucky because we went to the expo Thursday afternoon, and really only took about 20 minutes to get into the expo. The guy upstairs in the ballroom where we were sitting on the floor waiting in line told us that earlier on Thursday, the lines had been an hour and a half.
Yeah, I heard people say 2 hours.
Yeah.
And by Friday, there was no line and no wristbands.
And that's when you guys came in, right? That's when you came in?
There was a line on Friday. We've never seen lines on Friday afternoon before. It's just been walk in. And we had to wait in line about 10 or 15 minutes.
Yeah, but they weren't handing out wristbands anymore.
So did you get your magnet that you always get?
I actually didn't get one this year because I have Dumbo Double Dare magnet from, I think, last year. So
I got one. I was the only one who spent any money at the expo.
So I have two questions, follow-up questions. Number one, was by the time you got there on Friday, was it picked over? I mean, I know in the past that there have been issues with there not being enough stuff.
I thought they did a much better job this year in having sufficient merchandise. There were certainly, I think, a few things that were gone. I think there was a bag and a jacket and some really pretty limited stuff that was gone. But in other expos, when we've gone in, we've looked and you see just the same merchandise over and over because they've sold out. And this time, there was still a pretty good variety, and it didn't look like they'd had to just fill space where everything was sold out.
Oh,
so
gotcha.
I think they did a better job this time. And some of the things that have sold out in the past, like the magnets and the mini metal pins, those were all still available on Friday afternoon.
So I know this is a personal thing, and I certainly have my opinion about it, but do you guys think it's worth it? I mean, is it worth it to stand in this line?
Well, so the 15-minute line I was okay with, and I did. I bought – now, you know, we went up and down the aisles and looked at everything, and Laura dutifully took pictures and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
I was down to – Disney's been doing race weekend shirts as opposed to the race-specific shirts or the I did it shirts, and those have been kind of cool. And so that's what I've got the last few race weekends is the – and this one I thought was really – really a nice design. What I notice as a guy, So this was Disneyland race weekend as opposed to Tinkerbell or Princess. But I notice that it seems like 2/3 to 3/4 of the clothing actually is for women.
There's
less stuff actually that's either unisex or male. Again, it's not a big deal, and I don't know if that's just because they figure guys are least likely to buy stuff, or if it's because of the skewed demographics in the races or what. But the last few expos, I have noticed that there's certainly not an equal amount of men's and women's stuff.
And Laura and Amanda, what do you think? Is it worth it for you?
No.
Yeah.
Yeah. And for me, I actually would have skipped the whole Run Disney merchandise section when I heard that it was this whole rigmarole to even get in. And I was there with Rich, and he was reminding me that we're not going back to the West Coast for at least a few years, and that I might want to get a shirt with a map of the West Coast course on it just because it will be my only one for a while. And so that's what I ended up doing. I got, they had some really cute customized sweaty band headbands that had cute little sayings on them. So I bought one of those, and it ended up being the I Did It shirt, but it had the map of the race course on it, which was cute on the back. So I got that. It was cute, but I don't know that I would wait. I certainly wouldn't have waited an hour for it. And if I went back, unless they were doing some new, special, different race, I'd probably skip it, to be honest. I don't think it would be worth waiting in line an extensive amount of time.
And Laura, you write a very popular blog for allears.net, and I know you go in and take pictures as part of your blog. Is that kind of what's driving you attending the expo?
Well, I always like to go in and wander around and just see what there is, but now, the Disney Parks blog had put a preview of the merchandise, I guess, the week before. And even looking at what the previews were, I was underwhelmed by the designs.
Okay, Lee and Laura, I'm a Disney executive, and I'm looking at the bottom line for the expo, and I'm not really happy with the amount of money that the expo is bringing in. So I've decided to hire both of you at $1,000 an hour. And I want you two to come up with some ideas on how I can have my expo make more money, sell more merchandise, and improve the bottom line. What would you say or suggest to do that?
Well, number one, pre-orders.
Yes.
That's what I wanted you to say.
It's always good if you hire.
Well, if Laura, what would be the advantage of the pre-order?
Well, I mean, number one for me, you know, you reduce the frustration factor, and I know I'm going to get what I want. I think it gives Disney an idea of the quantities of what they need to order and what they need to buy. Now, I think you're still going to get into the situation where people pre-order merchandise and then they decide they don't want it and return it. But overall, I think it gives you a much better idea of how much merchandise you need, what designs are popular, and that sort of thing.
Yep. Lee, do you agree?
I agree. My other suggestion as a high price consultant, and to some extent Disney takes advantage of this already, the Avengers and Star Wars races have an advantage for the expo because I've got a bunch of characters other than the classic Disney characters that I have the potential. And I remember I was sort of disappointed at the expo, I think both for Star Wars and Avengers, because I was looking forward to getting stuff from those franchises that had cool characters and cool ways on it. And I didn't really see it.
It was gone.
But it could be because it was gone, or it could be they just hadn't done as much of it, some combination of those. But I think they have an opportunity with some of the other themed races to really maybe make some more money by having a wider variety of merchandise with the other characters that aren't what they have for the typical just Disney character races.
And I think that was one of the problems with this particular race, is because it doesn't have a definite theme.
Right.
That it was generic, and we've seen a lot of this kind of thing before, and I don't know, I don't really know how you make it more exciting than it can be, but things like Star Wars and Avengers, that's new and that's different. And it has, I think, a wider appeal right now than just the generic run Disney after 10 years of the Disneyland half marathon now.
So I think they missed out because the 10K was villains themed and the villain stuff is very popular. So they could have, and I don't remember, you know, there was an I Did It shirt and there may have been something else. But I mean, with how popular the villains are, there would have been opportunity, I think, to do some 10K and villain specific merchandise that they missed out on.
Right. Yeah,
I think that the Disneyland half marathon weekend is very much like the January Walt Disney World half marathon weekend, where it's very generic. And so you're going to have the same thing. Well, I guess
I think they earn their consulting money.
Yeah,
I think
yeah, so. And it, along with those villain themes, I mean, if they had had some like running caps with villain, you know, like Maleficent hats or something that people could have run in, I think people would have bought them to run in the race the next day.
I think you're right.
You know, I mean, we had a pretty funny experience during the half where there was a hat with Dumbo ears attached to it, and Helen picked it up at the 12.5 mile
that somebody made.
Yeah, somebody had homemade it, and they dropped it early in the race because it was annoying, and we found it and somehow ended up finishing with it. But
that's, you know, always good to share a hat that somebody else has worn, right, Dr. North?
Very funny. We're still having a discussion about whether or not it was infected with head lice as of today. But my point is that if you had had a running cap with Dumbo ears on it, I am sure there would have been a ton of people buying that at the expo. And having those little costume parts there might have been really appealing to people who don't have the skill to make the elaborate costumes that some of the Mickey Milers make. Those of us who have ordinary sewing skills or non-existent ones would probably pick up that kind of thing at the expo.
Yeah, I agree. Costume parts would be good.
Yeah.
It's funny, we always end up talking so much about the expo, we almost forget about the races. So I want to say, you know, Lee and Laura, your checks are in the mail. Very good consulting. And we're going to turn to the races. And I want to ask Amanda, can you give us which races did you do, Amanda?
I did the Dumbo, so the 10K and the half.
Okay, so, and I know you were...
Mike, sorry to interrupt. I also went to the, they had a 10th anniversary Disneyland party on Thursday night as part of race weekend, and I went to that also.
Okay. The thing that you, let me see. You've run a lot of the Walt Disney World races, and all of those have been on property, but with the Disneyland half, you ran off property, so I'd like your perspective on what you found for the half marathon.
So at the beginning of the half marathon, when you're on property, they do a fantastic job. I mean, you're in and out of the parks. They have characters, tons of characters. And then you kind of hit the road. And they did a pretty good job with high school marching bands. And then they had this huge stretch, I don't know, pretty long, with really cool cars. And the car owners were there by the cars. It was a little reminiscent of running on the racetrack for the full marathon in January in the past, where they had some interesting cars out there. But they did this for a huge stretch. So that was kind of cool, and we got some pictures with some interesting cars. But you're running next to warehouses. I mean, really. We were paying attention to our surroundings, and we were laughing at all the beautiful warehouse properties that we were running past. So it's definitely a much different experience than running on property for the whole race in terms of on-course entertainment. Although, like I said, they did a pretty good job. There were hula dancers at one point. There were tons of high school marching bands and cheerleaders. And, you know, they tried to make it as interesting as they could. But it definitely wasn't that character stop after character stop experience later in the race.
So let me ask you this question. It was only your first time. But if I were to hire you as a consultant, $1,000 an hour, okay, and I said to you, you know, Amanda, this is your first time running here. You have got a lot of ideas in your head as to how this race would be more enjoyable to runners. What kind of suggestions would you make?
Well, I wish we could have gone back on property later in the race. And I understand that from a running a theme park perspective, that that's just not going to happen. You know, they really need to get us out of the park so they can open the parks on time because, you know, I'm sure runners make up a decent percentage of the guests that weekend, but it's Labor Day weekend. Let's face it, they have other guests too. I think more variety of on-course entertainment off Disneyland property would have been nice. I mean, the high school marching bands definitely are enthusiastic, and I thought they were great, don't get me wrong. But I think if they could have found more different types of music to play, different ethnic bands or rock bands or, you know, something like that along the way to kind of change it up a little more, I would have liked that. I don't know what you can do about the course. I mean, I think obviously running through Angel Stadium is really a highlight. Mm-hmm. And I appreciated that and really very much enjoyed that part of the race. But I don't think the streets of Anaheim are that interesting in and of themselves. So I think they do the best they can with what they have to work with. And, you know, you kind of make your own fun in these races, so which we definitely did. So.
Okay, so now I want to turn to Lee and Laura, and I'm going to ask you a kind of a different question. Rather than reviewing these races, you are probably more than anybody I know veteran of more races on the West Coast, which is of course makes sense because you live there. And if you were going to recommend that somebody do one of the races, one of these four races for their coast to coast, is this the one that you would recommend, or would you do another one? Because it is more of a, it's the oldest one, but it's the most generic. Does that make it special? What would you say? Which one would you tell people to do?
Well, this is my least favorite of the four races on the West Coast.
And why is that?
Well, because it is generic, but one of the reasons is the time of year. It is hot in late August, early September when they run this race. We kind of lucked out this year and it was a little bit cooler than it has been the last two or three years, but it's hot. That's just difficult. So that's one reason I don't really like it. And then the theme again, isn't really that appealing to me. So I love Star Wars. That was such a fun weekend this year. My favorite of the four courses is still the Tinkerbell course that goes into downtown Anaheim. And so that one's really fun. So that's the one I like in terms of course the best. But I would take any of the other three over the Disneyland half.
Okay.
So I would say it's as much about what fits into your schedule. And then maybe are you a bigger Avengers fan or Star Wars fan, or maybe you want to do Tink, which is the more women-centered race. The in-park experience, pretty much for the 10K and the half, while, you know, they mix the courses up a little bit, what they do running in the parks, but basically you're going to run almost all the 10K in the parks and just be on different streets, and no one would ever know that this was the Tink 10K course as opposed to the half marathon weekend 10K course. It's the half marathon out of park courses that differ, and basically they go in roughly four different directions. I agree with Laura. The tour of scenic Anaheim Warehouse District is probably the least interesting of the courses, even with Angel Stadium and all the things they do on it. I like the Tink course. I like the on-course entertainment for Star Wars and Avengers, at least based on the one example we've had so far with the cosplayers out there in costume, because that was just a great time. So, like I said, I think I wouldn't get too excited if there's a race every 3 months. You know, figure out what fits into your schedule. The race experience is going to be 80% similar probably, because, you know, you're going to have lots of characters and stuff inside Disneyland and California Adventure, and then you're going to go run outside, and you're going to have some combination of cheerleaders and bands and either some cosplay folks or a bunch of car folks and dance groups and stuff like that. And then if you're really extra motivated by Tinkerbell or extra motivated by Star Wars, that might be the other thing I use to discriminate.
Well, one thing I'll say about the Disneyland half weekend is the 10K. They have changed up the theme of the 10K every year that they've done it. So 3 years, three different themes. And that's something that we have not seen with any of the other 10Ks. So that's something that's different about the Disneyland half marathon weekend. If you're going to do the 10K, is figuring out, well, what are they going to do for a theme this year? And they've all been great. All three of the 10K themes have really been a lot of fun.
And I have to say, I have a lot of medals, as everybody on this podcast does, but I had medal envy when I saw that 10K medal. It was terrific. Laura, could you describe it?
So the theme of, as Amanda was mentioning, the theme of the villain of the 10K this year was villains. And so the medal is the magic mirror, the Evil Queen's magic mirror from Snow White. Mm-hmm. And so it has the mirror slave in the mirror. And it is a really cool medal.
It is.
Yeah, I saw all four. I had a friend in work who brought them, and that was really cool.
Oh, neat. Yeah. I have one more question that I know Mike does. Amanda, can you tell us a little bit about the party that you went to?
Sure, yeah. The party was Thursday night, and you actually had to go to the expo on Thursday in order to go to the party. They gave you both a wristband and a ticket for entry to the park, and you also got this cool, like that over one shoulder backpacky thing. I don't know what you really call it, but it goes over one shoulder and is a bag. It was kind of cool, actually.
Mike, you got one of those, right? Your friend brought you back one.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, those were nice. And I guess you could use your ticket to get in as early as 4 o'clock, even though the party started later. Of course, Thursday night was the one night that the fireworks didn't work at Disneyland.
People what do you were mean didn't work? They forgot where the button was to turn it on?
I don't know.
Off?
They had technical difficulties and canceled the fireworks that night. No. Without it, from where we were sitting, they didn't make an announcement, but I guess if you were over on Main Street, they did. So we went early over there. I had, like I said, I hadn't been to Disneyland since 2007, so they had tons of characters out, although we didn't do that so much. We went on some rides and just kind of enjoyed being there. We got to see, they had the Paint the Night Parade at 11:30 p.m. And Main Street was practically empty at that hour, which was really amazing. So we had front row seats for the parade, which is, I'm not a huge parade person. This is a spectacular parade, totally worth seeing. And really was a worthwhile part of the night. The rides were all walk-ons. You could ride as many times as you wanted, really. You could get off the ride and get right back on with no wait whatsoever. And it was, for me, it was fun. It was a nice way to see Disneyland at night. Fantasyland wasn't open. It was the other side of the park. So Big Thunder, Splash Mountain, over that side of the park was where the party really was. And I thought the ticket was expensive for what you got, but given that I was only there for a few short days and not going back anytime soon, to me it was worthwhile to go.
How much was it?
It was about $100.
Ooh.
Yeah. And they did, you know, they did the Disneyland anniversary logo on a water screen, which was really cool to look at. So they did a couple little nice touches like that. And for character lovers, I think there were really a lot of interesting character stops out there. That wasn't really what I was there to do. So I didn't get in line for the characters. But I knew a lot of people did. And they had a DJ with a dance party, which was kind of fun. But I mean, like, we went on Pirates a couple of times, and literally we were the only people on our boat. It was pretty amazing.
Wow.
Yeah. And so it was a nice way to get to see stuff that you'd normally wait a pretty long time to do. I'm glad I did it. Having now been to Disneyland more recently, I don't know that I would do it again next time.
That would have been a question, Amanda. So you already answered the question before I even answered. So
I think if you go to Disneyland every 5 years or less, it's worth it to walk these special attractions. If you're like Lee and Laura and you can drive up to Disneyland, you know, whenever you feel like it, it's definitely not worth it because they can do all of that without spending that kind of money.
Speaking of Lee and Laura, this last question is for them. I want them to see if they can read my mind. So Lee and Laura, I have this last question. I want each of you to answer this. If I said to you, you could change one thing regarding the races, one of the races or both of the races for the Disneyland Half Marathon weekend to improve the runner experience, What would you do?
Do they get $1,000 an hour?
This is $5,000 an hour because we really want to improve the race experience. Laura, you go first.
Oh, fine. Make me go first. I don't have to.
Well, see, I know mine.
Because okay, I want you to read my mind. You know.
So I'm jumping in because I think I might. So I think they need more character photo stops. Because the problem now that they staff them with photographers and everybody has cameras, everybody wants to stop and take pictures. And so while it wasn't too bad, and I mean, I don't remember where Amanda was. She may have an opinion on this. I mean, we were in Corral B for both of the races and not running fast, but running at a decent pace. And it was pleasantly uncrowded. But even then up there, you know, after you got into the parks, there was 10, 15, 20 people in line for an awful lot of the characters. And so I think we oldsters remember the olden days when you could run Disney races and people didn't have cameras and people didn't think about stopping for characters. And it was just a blast to kind of run from character to character and get pictures and stuff like that. If you're going to keep anywhere near on pace at this point, because the lines are longer, you kind of have to pick and choose where you make character stops. And it seems like it would be easy for them to put twice as many characters into the parks as they do. It's not like it's going to cost them a ton more money or anything. And I think that that would make the experience even more special, and it would allow more people to get to do that.
I like it. Now, Laura, you've had some time to think, so now you can give us your
answer.
And
your answer is going to be better because you had more time to think.
Oh, I already had mine before I even asked. Yeah.
Laura's will be better.
Characters is one of the things that I think they need to do a little bit better. Other than that, I don't know. I would like to see more park time. Like Amanda mentioned earlier, I think it would be great if they could somehow figure out how to put some park time at the end of the race, because that would make the end of the race much more special than it is right now when we just run backstage at California Adventure.
I like it.
Okay.
And just one comment about that. My dear friend Sam Gaino started in the back intentionally. He started all the way in the back for the half marathon, and apparently they were running out of water and Gatorade by the time that corral came through, and he was pretty irritated about it. So
yes, he should be.
Yeah, he was pretty upset about it. You know, we talked to him. We spent quite a lot of time with him and his family out there, and he had made a game out of starting in the back and then catching up to his daughter, who was a few corrals ahead of him during the half, and he was shocked by the water situation in the back. And I think that's the other problem with starting in the back, is that you kind of lose the ability to wait in line those long lines for characters if you don't want to get swept. Mm-hmm. So there has to be a better way to do that. I just don't know what it is.
Well, my suggestion is not as elaborate as Lee's or as good as Lee's and Laura's, but it's pretty simple. And that is, I'd like them to start everything an hour earlier. I think that, well, it's like this. I mean, Laura made a good point. It's very hot. And when the sun is beating down, and it gets warm really fast. And I don't think an hour would make that much of a difference to the runners.
Well, when you're coming from the East Coast.
But I mean, to anybody. I mean, we get up early anyways. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think that when you're out at the West Coast, you're getting up later than you would at the East Coast. So, I mean, we get up at 2 or 3 for the races in Orlando. We get up at 4 or maybe 4, 4:30 for the races in Disneyland. So my thought is to you know, start an hour earlier, and maybe, you know, we won't have that heat, and maybe we'll be able to do that backstage. You know, maybe we'll be able to walk around the park maybe for an hour before, and maybe have extra magic hours for the runners until 9 o'clock. So I think that would be something that I would suggest. So we want to thank Lee and Laura for coming on. Lee and Laura, thank you very much.
Thanks for having us.
Indeed.
And Amanda North, coming all the way from New York to
thank you.
To
thank yeah. you. Thank you guys so much for having me.
Thank you, Dr. North, and Dr. Michelle Scribner-McLean. Thank you.
Thank you. And thank you. And thank you.
I'm not a doctor, nor do I play one on a podcast. So for Lee and Laura and for Amanda and for Michelle, this is Mike Scopa saying we'll see you on the road.
The Mickey Miles podcast is brought to you by MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel, who will handle your family vacation, reunion, honeymoon, corporate incentive trip, or getaway as if it were their own, bringing premium service and expert advice to help you get the most out of your vacation dollar. Visit them at mei-travel.com or mousefantravel.com.
Thanks for joining us on today's episode of the Mickey Miles Podcast. The Mickey Miles Podcast is not affiliated with, authorized, or endorsed by, or in any way officially connected with Run Disney, the Walt Disney Company, Disney Enterprises, Inc., or any of their affiliates. We hope you enjoyed listening. Our discussion continues on Facebook at facebook.com/Mickey Miles Podcast, where you can give us your comments and feedback on the show. You can also follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/Mickey Miles Pod. And if you have any questions for us, you can send them to questions@MickeyMilesPodcast.com. We'll try to answer them as soon as possible. For all of us here at the Mickey Miles Podcast, this is Rick Gray saying until next time, thanks for listening, and we'll see you on the road.